everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy. The episode! The one that I think so many people have been waiting for. You have your two favorite podcast hosts in the entire universe galaxy world. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful night for a season finale podcast.
Season finale podcast.
We have finished 10 season of the show.
Let's
And it's only taken us 5 years.
Well, here's what's really crazy about this. We've made it through Shonda's time on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Virtually spoily free.
Yeah.
I actually don't know that I can tell you just how crazy this actually is. But like when I think about it, people do not want me, people who don't listen to this podcast, do not want me to remain spoily free.
Yeah.
They just
it's
don't.
It's not fun.
What's so hilarious is, so this is, we're recording on Thursday. So thank God it's Thursday. TGIT. I was out at a work dinner Tuesday. Okay. And Wednesday we were over at Cindy's getting dinner with them. So like I wasn't available, but this episode, the people that I work with as like partners, mm-hmm. in other clinics, I did not realize it at the time because this person was intoxicated and a little incoherent,
mm-hmm.
but they tried to spoil a scene from this episode.
Was it the dancing it out?
No,
oh.
It was you're the sun.
Well, that's the dancing out scene, but that's a better way to.
Oh, is that okay? So
that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were like, did you get to the scene? And I'm like, hold on. I need you to be so careful. Just so careful with what you're about to say, because I just explained to you the premise of this podcast. It's kind of contingent on me not having seen the scene you might be referencing. She's like, no. There's a scene where she says, you're not the son, or she says, no, you're not my son. And I was like, she's like, no, you for sure would have been here. And I'm like, I don't know. What you're describing does not sound like anything I've seen. So
yeah,
I think we should move on. But in my head, the way that she was describing it was a paternal thing.
Yeah.
Like,
you're not my son.
like someone goes up to Derek or Owen or like Ben, poor Ben catching strays.
No, Meredith goes to her son, Bailey, and it's like,
you're not my son.
Surprise.
So, but what's funny is the second I watched that scene and she goes, he's not the son, you're the son. I'm like, oh, this is what this girl was trying to say.
Yeah.
She tried to ruin it for me, mm-hmm. but the universe gave me a pass on this one, which is nice.
So let's take a macro moment and look
macro
at the big
moment.
Scale. Okay.
Yes.
So you had the spoiler that Katherine Heigl was going to leave solely because there was no way she could still be on the show and have the career that we know that she had had.
Correct.
That was technically not spoiled by anyone. That was just spoiled by common knowledge.
Yes.
Then musical episode.
Musical.
Luckily, the
existence.
Still snuck the hell up on you.
Yes. Yes. The mere existence mm-hmm. of the musical episode was spoiled, but not when, where, or the mm-hmm. content of that episode.
And then after that, it was just that Christina leaves.
Yes.
And now we've arrived. We've passed the spoiler. So we're back to spoily free.
So Christina's gone.
Yeah. Okay. I'm so excited to share this piece of information with you.
Awesome. Let's do it.
They announced that Sandra Oh was leaving Grey's Anatomy before the 10th season began to air.
Oh.
We all knew for the entirety of the 10th season that it would be her last season.
Wow.
The last like 5 episodes were promoed as like farewell to Christina Yang.
Wow.
Yeah. I went back and forth on whether or not I was going to tell you like, I wasn't going to tell you before season 10, but I thought maybe like 2 or 3 episodes ago. And I really wanted to show you the promo because I wanted to show you the promo of the episode that we watched together, because they fully spoil that Burke is going to be like, he's just in the promo. Like they spoil his return.
So,
they promo it as like the farewell of Christina Yang's farewell.
Yeah. So actually here's what's funny about that. So, when when I was having this conversation with these people at this dinner, two of them started whispering to each other. They're like, and the other one was like, and that sounds more like terrible teenage making out than whispering, like more like that sounds like dick. It's more like that's like whispering, right? That's the universal noise for whispering or snakes talking. Mm-hmm. And they were like, okay, so Burke's a piece of shit. And I go, yes, I know. Burke came back. Like, that's crazy. And they're like, yeah, he's so racist. And I was like, yeah, Burke sucks. But I really liked his character the first time. It sucks, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, yeah, we hated him the first time. And I said, okay, well, you've better hindsight than me. It's okay. So, but then that's when she said, you know, he's not your son or whatever they said incoherently, blah, 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 blah. So it makes sense in hindsight when you talked last week about the promo giving a spoiler that these couple of episodes since Zurich, which I'm going to put myself on blast. I don't know where the hell I thought Zurich was, but when she said Switzerland, I'm like, oh, Zurich's in Switzerland? I'm an idiot, apparently. I don't know where I thought Zurich was. So anyways, that makes sense the way that they promote it. And I'm glad that you didn't show this to me because also I spent this whole episode going, okay, like, okay, is she leaving? Is she gonna die? And yeah. I think I said this a while back. I think it was on the Ask Carmen Anything episode of if, like, what would ruin the show? And I said, if they didn't give someone like Christina a send-off that she deserved, this feels overall like the send-off she deserves.
Yeah. I so agree. It's been a while since I've watched this episode. This is a hard one for me because obviously Christina is like my number one. She's my favorite character. Also, like, knowing that it's the last Shonda like show running episode is brutal. This is also, I'll be honest, I haven't watched this one in a really long time. Watching this one now, having moved away from so many of like my very, very close friends, it did hit very differently.
Yeah.
And that really caught me off guard. I was not emotionally prepared for my own emotions. So yeah, yes, it was like the true Christina Yang, Sandro send off. I thought that they did her justice in a lot of ways without doing a lot of like really heavy fan service. They did just enough nods, just enough references. I loved the title card with her pictures everywhere. Loved like little callbacks to, you know, monumental episodes from the past.
Yeah.
The Dance It Out song was in fact a song that has been used in the past of this show, like season one.
Okay. So. What a time. I want to get into it, but also I want to do this really quick. I have this Cadence Core Hydration drink that Jess got. Oh. I just want to try it really quick. It's cream soda flavored with zero sugar, zero caffeine. Let me take a quick sip here.
Oh, some ice water.
Nice. Mm. Oh. That was a weird first taste. It settled in kind of nice. It's okay.
I had to go to the dentist today.
Ooh.
So, for reference, Wyatt was born in April 2025. The day before she was born, popped a crown off. Eating a Sour Patch Kid. And that day was also Good Friday. So I could not get in anywhere. And it also, I was about to go into labor, so it wouldn't have mattered. Then I had a newborn and two other children, so I did not ever go get the crown back on. I've been to the dentist multiple times since then, but I was finally
Have you been in pain this whole time?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because, and as I learned today, the area was so well prepped, it held up insanely well.
Nice.
Because the dentist goes, I'm actually shocked that the crown came off because it's so well prepped. And I said, yeah, it was a Sour Patch Kid. And he goes, oh yeah, those will really put the cement to the test. And sometimes the cement just doesn't win. So unfortunately, I do fear I'm going to have to cut out the Sour Patch children, which is a bummer for me because I do love them immensely. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. However, Nerds gummy clusters, I feel, are so much safer because they're so much less dense and sticky in a different way that feels less threatening to my mouth. But I did get 4 shots of lidocaine and my mouth is still a little bit numb. And this was almost 8 hours ago at this point.
Yeah. Have you bitten your tongue yet today?
Oh, I'm sure I did, but not enough to like be in pain now. But the issue is I don't think they filed the temporary down enough on the side that's touching my cheek. Mm. And I think it is going to drive me insane for the next week until I have to go back.
Yeah. I actually think I need to do kind of like an emergency dentist because I think I cracked a tooth.
Ugh, I like,
I just can touch like the gum line, the tooth in the gum line, and it hurts. Like just to touch it, it hurts. It hurts with cold.
Well, that could be a root canal though.
I sure fucking hope not. But it's on the outside though. Like
when I had a root canal. And it was that, it was just like, no matter what, it hurt. Like, touching it anyway, and then really, really bad cold sensitivity. I hope it's not. I could be wrong. Obviously, I'm not a dentist.
I
hope it's not.
I was just at the dentist like a couple weeks ago.
So much dental work in my life.
Mm.
Because I just genetically have bad teeth. And I have what's called soft teeth. So, like, just like the enamel is just like not as strong as a lot of people's is. So, it's kind of a bummer. They're like, yeah, we can tell. It just like fucking doesn't matter unless I were to eat no sugar ever, which is so wildly unrealistic for me as a human being. Like it would never happen.
Don't do that to yourself.
I will say definitely 100% I don't floss enough, but I do brush my teeth enough. And so it's just kind of one of those things where it's like sucks to suck. But when I had the root canal, and I'll give this advice until the day I die, the dentist told me we can do it here, but I would recommend going to a specialist because all they do is root canals. So it's just like, go to someone who can do it but doesn't do it all the time, or go to someone who does it literally all the time and is like flawless at it. And so I did go to the person who did it all the time, and I was expecting like this 2-hour ordeal. It was like 15 minutes. It was insane. And I have horrendous dental anxiety. Like I genuinely hate going to the dentist. I hate the noises. I hate the way those things feel against my teeth. Like I literally today I was like cringing when they had the drill in my mouth and he was like, oh my God, can you feel this? And I was like, no, I just like that noise makes me want to exit my body and also vomit on you. Like I was like, I'm sorry. I know I'm being dramatic, but like, I genuinely hate that sound so much. And when it's in your mouth, it feels like it's coming like out of your ear.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they numbed me so much that my ear was numb. So I was like hitting my ear. I was like, I can't feel anything. This is crazy.
If I need to get a root canal, I'm going to need to be under. I'm going to need to fully be under.
Here's what I'll say. I'm not going to judge you because in Florida, when I had to go, I would like ask them to give me the knockout medication to do a filling. Because I have really bad dental anxiety. The first time I did a filling, I asked for the gas and it was $99. And I was like, that's fine. And then the next time I was like, well, how much is the pill to take to like be asleep? And they were like, $4.
Give me the pill.
So I did that every fucking time. And I was like, wow, I'm so well rested.
That's hilarious.
I will say the guy who did my root canal, I went and I was like, oh, when I get there, I'm just going to ask for the gas to like be kind of loopy. And I got there and they were like, we don't do the gas. And I was like about to cry. And they were like, we can give you like a Valium prescription and you can come back another day. But I had driven almost an hour to get there and I was nursing at the time. So it was like, I don't want to deal with having to like figure out how long I can go without nursing and pumping and dumping and everything. I was like, I'll just do it. And I did manage to be okay, which I cannot express how unlikely that was going in. I truly thought I was going to pass out, but I just think like going to the specialist if you have to have a root canal. And I was talking to a family member who used to be a dental hygienist, and she would say that there would be times people would elect to have the root canal in office. And like, it's really easy for them to like have some kind of reaction and then need to go to the specialist anyways. They're like, just go to the specialist the first time and it's going to like, well, way more likely that it just goes perfectly.
Mm. Well, hopefully it's not that. I don't know what it could be because I use the water pick and it's not like a constant pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the first contact.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. We'll see. I'm just really hopeful that it's not.
To confirm whether or not I needed a root canal was also some of the worst pain I've ever been in, because they take a Q-tip that's like frozen in like the, I don't think it's liquid nitrogen, but that's what I feel like it was, or dry ice or something like that, right? And then they touch it to your tooth. And then like your level of reaction of pain, I guess, is how they tell if you need a root canal. And I'm like, yes, this was the worst thing I've ever felt in my entire life. So congratulations.
Okay.
And that was, I had done that here in town because I was visiting. And then I had to go back to Florida. And I was like, it's confirmed. If you have to do that again, I understand, but I beg you not to. And they were like, no, no, we'll take their word for it. I was like, thank God.
Goodness. Yeah, no thanks. That's crazy. I understand why people go years without going to the dentist, because they get scared of not doing that. But I was just there within the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, same.
So anyways, we talked about Grays. We left Grays. We're coming back to Grays. I want to do a couple of shout outs.
Same, because we have a couple new Patreons.
Oh, hell yeah. Let me go first so that they get the proper thunder that they need. I want to shout out a new friend, Erica. She has sent me a couple of reels. She sent a group chat on Instagram with both of us, but I think she followed me afterwards. So Erica, truly, truly so great to connect. Want to shout out our new friend, Nikki. And Nikki said that she found us after listening to Scalpels and Tequila, and loves our banter, and she's listening to us from New Hampshire, so shout out Nikki. I also want to shout out Madison. Madison had gotten a shout out a while back, but Madison's going to help me figure out a Chicago meetup, because she lives in Chicago, and there's, I'm sure, a lot of listeners in Chicago, so we'll try to figure that out. I know I said Nikki once already, but I want to shout out another Nikki. Just has been doing so great, and listened to the season 10, episode 11, and they are a therapist, and they have some thoughts on the Bailey OCD situation, and would love to. She said she messaged the podcast before. Let's see there. I think there's one more that I have. Actually, no, I think that's it. And then I do want to shout out. So, I obviously like Pokemon cards. I've been into Pokemon cards for my whole life, but I've re-gotten back into them in a big way recently. But I went to a new card shop in downtown Downers Grove, and I had this biggest trade I've ever done in my life. I traded like $500 worth of cards going out. He traded me $500 worth of cards. It was this huge, huge trade. His name is Nick. The name of the shop in downtown Downers is Mimi's Candy and Cards, and it's like this old time like candy store, but he's got a freaking booth of a setup where he's got Pokemon cards, and he does baseball, and he's got all this stuff. And it was so awesome. A friend of mine invited me there. So shout out Sam. He actually just finished his residency. He's going to do, that's cool. I think he's going to try to come on for a Patreon episode. So we'll do like Q&A of what residency was really like. So I think that could be a lot of fun, but, he said that his wife listens to or watches Grey's Anatomy. So I'm so sorry. I don't think I caught your name, but Nick's wife, Nick's fiance, whoever you are, Nick's lover, want to shout you out. So if you're listening, I'm going to send this episode to him at some point. So really appreciate you guys. Appreciate Nick, Mimi's Candy and Cards. And it's a great shop. And then Nick, shout out you. He traded me one of his cards from his personal collection. So that was like really cool. Like I'm going to cherish it forever. I think that's all the shout outs that I have.
Yes. Okay. First shout out Megan, who is probably listening to this on a flight.
Megan! Hope on a flight.
A good flight. Also want to shout out Shelby just reached out, and she said
Shelby
Super random, but I'm a big fan of Grey's and your podcast. Obsessed with Grey's Academy and have been for over a year now. Our local hospital just announced a new doctor in charge of our ER, and his name is Dr. Hunt. He has red hair, too.
What?
When I saw that, I just needed to tell someone who gets it. Big Owen hater here. And I just thought that was so funny.
Yeah. Big ol' Owen hater.
Silliness. Okay, and then our two new Patreons. Give it up for Queen Nika.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
And I might say this wrong. Learke. From Denmark.
Hell yeah. We love Denmark. If
but
Kelsey.
It's that thing where the letters are smushed together. I know it has a name, but I can't remember right now. So it's L and then AE smushed together. RKE. So shout out.
Why don't you send a message to Kelsey and say how we pronounce that in your native Denmarkian tongue?
Yes, you may send audio aids so that I can get it correct. And then I feel like that's all I have before we get to the goods.
There was actually, and I have to, if all of you guys out there, if you're seeing us for the first time because of a video of me reacting to this, shout out to our dear friend, Caitlin, who is an angel baby amongst mortals.
And that will be going up shortly as well.
Yes.
Well, shortly as of recording this, as of release, it should be up.
Yes, correct. So. Do you also want to hear one more story before we jump fully in?
Yes.
I'll make it quick. So, basically, I want to say, allegedly, fuck you, Sam's Club, you piece of shit company. Oh. Allegedly. They had a Pokemon release, and I was going to go there, and people were lining up 48 hours in advance for a couple of Pokemon cards. Fucking fine, whatever, ruining the hobby. But they were, I'm glad I didn't go, because they were checking IDs to memberships, and I was using Marlena's membership. But then they had an online release and the website crashed and it was fucking around for 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And finally I said, screw this, I'm going to bed. 20 minutes after I go to bed, the site refreshes and they launch the product and I miss out on getting the Ascended Heroes Focus Fighters collection. So allegedly and made up company, probably this is my experience of something that never happened. Potentially. I don't even know. It's based on nothing. Fuck you, Sam's Club.
You just talk so much about nonsensical things sometimes.
Anyways,
I mean, same. I'm sorry that happened to you, and I'm glad you saved that money.
Yeah. And I need to send your daughter Pokemon cards.
No, she's fine. So yeah, I think, shall we get into it?
Let's do it. Let's get into it.
Okay. Okay, so this is episode 24 of the 10th season, season 10 finale. Crazy, crazy, crazy. It is the 220th episode overall. It's called Fear of the Unknown, and that is a song.
Fear of the Unknown. Wait, I lost my tab. Wait, fuck, internet. Come back.
I sent it to you.
I know, I have it. Here it is. Fear of the Unknown is a song by Susie and the Banshees. Sushi. It's spelled S-I-O-U-X-S-I-E. Sushi and the Banshees.
I have no idea.
Susie and the Banshees. Oh, wait, are they referenced in a Blink-182 song? We grew up Susie and the Banshees. Yeah, wait a second. They're referencing the Blink-182 song. That's funny. Wow, that's so funny. I'm sorry. It was the only single that was released in the United States, and it was the second single from the band's 10th studio album, Superstition. This was released November 26, 1991, so that makes it a Sagittarius album, I believe, but it's a cusp, I believe, right?
Is it November 24th? What?
November 26th.
Yes, isn't that also Leah's birthday?
Shout out.
You're
cuspy.
Welcome, Leah.
So the charting in the US modern rock tracks, it ended up at position number 12, and then the US hot dance disco, it topped at number 6. So Yeah, I mean, this is not a song that I would listen to. It's a little bit too not my taste.
It's a little bit too not for me.
It's a bit too not what I would consider what I like. So I'm gonna give it an objective 2.4 because it did do some charting. So congrats, but a subjective 1.9. Not my cup of tea. And the music, I think I'm also ruined by the music video.
I couldn't, at first, I was struggling to find it on Apple Music, so I sent it to him from YouTube, and it is the music video from 1991, so it's fucking weird. Like, it just is a weird music video, because all the music videos in 1991 are weird. Because that's what we were doing. We were being weird.
Yeah, it's true. And honestly, anything coming out of the 80s as well. Like, you ever watch the music video for Hungry Life, Like the Wolf by Duran Duran? It's, like, weird. It's very weird.
I don't know.
So, all right. So, let's just really quick. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But really, this whole episode can kind of be boiled down to the last, like, 10 minutes.
Well,
it's so intense. It's
yes,
so, like,
everything
it's so...
obviously comes to it. Honestly, the biggest, like, there's like a sword kind of hanging over the episode for a small portion of time, because you're like, did Shonda actually kill Christina? Which, again, you probably didn't have the same amount of impact, but knowing for the entire season that this was going to be her last episode, and they're like, oh, she's leaving, she's going to Switzerland. I'm like, okay, so they're sending her to Switzerland. And like, it would be in a way very Shonda to then kill her at the last minute and be like, just kidding, motherfuckers, she's not going to Switzerland, she's going to heaven. So
which I imagine looks quite a bit like Switzerland.
Yeah.
Honestly.
So at least like that green screen did.
Yeah. Maybe slightly better. I think they have a bigger budget in heaven.
Yeah. So there was a moment, you know, I remember watching it live and being like, they killed her. I fear they've killed her. Luckily, that was not but maybe five minutes of the episode. So,
yeah, it, I mean, you get through, I think, the title card. No, you get kind of a little bit of a way
you get
in.
Into it.
And then Alex is like, oh, thank God you're here.
Yeah.
But I will say, okay, so if I'm putting myself into the shoes of the writers and I think about this episode, it really would be crazy if the last on-screen scene they get, Christina got, was with Owen. And her last line was, I gotta go to the mall to get this compatible charger for my phone, which we've been through. They are different.
Yes. Also, I didn't give the stats on the episode because I'm too excited to talk
about
that. Written by William Harper. However, Shonda wrote basically anything that was Christina's goodbye, Shonda wrote.
Okay.
Directed by Tony Phelan, aired May 15th, 2014, to 8.92 million views, which honestly, for how much they promo this as being like Christina's last episode, to me is kind of crazy. Like,
yeah,
I just
it should
feel
be
like it
at least in the 11s or
12s. Yeah. Well, I feel like, first of all, it should be high, but I just feel like it would have been at least, you know, 10, at least double digits, but it was not. It opened the wrong season. Sorry, I gotta get the Netflix synopsis, but it's trying to take me to season 11 already. Okay.
Don't do that.
The doctors bid an emotional farewell to Christina Yang. A possible act of terrorism rocks Seattle, and Meredith makes a life-changing decision. Honestly, not too spoilery, in my opinion. That's
I mean, other
accurate.
Than saying goodbye to Christina.
Well, but again, was not a spoiler.
Spoiler to only me, apparently.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But yeah, I think I'm glad comparatively to, you know, the other two core five people that we've said goodbye to, George and Izzy. This is definitely the biggest like tribute
they get
goodbye.
They get the
like,
send-off.
Obviously Mark did have a tributed goodbye episode. Lexi did not. I'll say Mark was around longer, so but this to me was just like, it felt like a really good goodbye tribute without being super like corny or super like wall breaky. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah. And now the fans are saying goodbye.
Yeah, it was nice. I think, my bar for emotional finales or like sending off of characters is Scrubs. I think Scrubs did a good job of ending the show. There was one character that died, that they killed off, and they gave her an emotional goodbye. Although Scrubs also has ingrained in me that people can come back as different characters, because that person who died comes back as a different character later on in the show, which I still think is hilarious.
You know what I actually recently realized?
Awesome I am.
Great. Gilmore Girls does that. Gilmore Girls did that. They killed someone off and then brought them back literally the next episode as the person's cousin.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
That's funny. Do they ever like break the fourth wall on it? Because they do break the fourth wall on Scrubs.
No, but that's not really like of like Scrubs kind of breaks the fourth wall. Like he talks to the camera all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just like not really in the realm of Gilmore Girls. But yeah, like the grandma, like Roy's great grandmother dies. And then the next episode, Lorelai's cousin comes to the funeral. No way, it might be the same episode. They say that she's dead. And then that same episode, the actress who played her an episode ago comes back as the cousin of the grandmother.
I love that. More shows should do that. Also, more shows should take a pause and take a break and do a capitalism. And then we'll jump right into the full girth of this episode. We'll be right back. And we are back. And I'm sure none of you had the word girth on your bingo card, so I apologize. So anyways, yeah, this definitely feels like it should have been at least a double digit million episode sending off for Christina. I would say that my perception is at least 18 to 20% of Grey's Anatomy fans, Christina is their favorite character.
Yeah.
It feels like a high number.
Here's the other reason that I feel like they were setting it up to be like, oh, the drama is that she's going to die. The voiceover. Right?
Yeah,
the voiceover.
The voiceovers never die.
Yeah. But.
Go on. I've given her a stroke.
Yeah, I'm like trying to read and also have a conversation. And I'm also like, I thought she said part of this out loud to Owen. So this is what the voiceover says. He doesn't, it's like the weatherman's talking, and he's like, it's going to be a great day. And the voiceover is, he doesn't know that. He's an idiot. For all he knows, it could be the worst day of his life. You know how people say, who knows, I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. That seems pretty far-fetched until you have a friend who got hit by a bus.
Yep.
The point is, you never know what kind of day is coming. Whenever we think we know the future, even for a second, it changes. Sometimes the future changes quickly and completely, and we're left only with the choice of what to do next. We can choose to be afraid of it, to stand there trembling, not moving, assuming the worst that can happen, or we step forward into the unknown and assume it will be brilliant. I love Christina Yang.
Yep, yep. Into the unknown.
Exactly. And I'm just sad. The collage from the opening title, I think, is lovely. It's got like a screen grab of Christina and Meredith from the very first episode. Two screen grabs of them from the very first episode. Her in the dress with when Meredith cuts her out of the dress. Unfortunately, her kissing Owen is on there. Her with the gun to her head, very close up shot, is on there. Her and Derek when they're catching the fish. The original "You're My Person" moment. And then her in Minnesota, and then just a couple other like solo screen grabs of her. But I just love it. I just love it so much.
Yeah, it. I'm going to say this. I know. Obviously, we're getting into it, and we're starting. I think that this send off met my expectations for what a send-off could be and should be that does not involve murder.
Yes.
So with that being said, yeah, it definitely, like, I think about when I watch this episode, the misdirect at the beginning. First off, don't say it's going to be a beautiful day in TV. That's obviously a bad omen. Someone's going to fucking die. I really did think, like, oh, damn. Yeah, they killed, or Christina's going to come in and they're going to have to save her. Mm-hmm. Some shit like that.
Yeah.
But Owen and Christina, they smushed in the Airstream. He's like, oh, we could smush again. And she's like, no, dude, like, I don't want to waste a goodbye right now and then see you later. And then it's going to be so blah. So I get, like, good opening scene. But I was like, dang, if that's the last scene that we get of Christina, I'm going to be disappointed. Like, that's bullshit. So I'm glad that didn't happen. Also, I'm glad that they did not speak again.
Yes. Yes.
Great. Great.
Woohoo! Could not be more celebratory.
Because he would have tried to convince her to stay.
The last scene... Okay, so I did a lot of research on, like, the BTS, the filming of this episode. The last scene that Christina filmed, like, that Sandra Oh filmed, was her in the OR, like, gallery to Owen, I believe. Let me verify that.
I would believe you. Like, there's nothing that you could have me convinced of anything at this point.
Yeah. Sandra Oh, the particular scene, it says the last scene that she filmed was the goodbye scene between Owen and Christina. So I think it's the one in the OR.
That would make sense. That's their goodbye scene.
Yeah, I agree. And I like that because I feel like their relationship is so infuriating, all over the place, unpredictable, unstable. You can't write words that, like, feel appropriate for a goodbye. So I feel like this is the best way it can be done. Like, there's just fucking shit going on. Owen's, like, in the middle of, like, saving some... He's literally in the middle of a trauma. Christina's trying to run out the door because she's late. Like, it's like, okay, there's nothing to say.
Yeah.
The last scene...
What would you say? Remember that time you made me get an abortion and we spent 7 seasons...
Going back and forth about having kids. Like, yeah. I just...
Remember that?
And I do like that she calls out, like, oh, I need something to feel finished because Owen and I, like, split up, but we never split up. Like, nothing's finished. We're not finished. Nothing's finished, blah, blah, all this stuff. Like, I like the acknowledgement of, like, her and Owen, like, can't stay away from each other for some reason. And I know this is the deadest horse and I've beaten it incessantly, but, like, they don't have the chemistry to pull off this much. Like, we have to be together. Like, I just don't get it.
Yeah, it's no George and Izzy, you know?
Oh, my God. It's basically the exact same as George and Izzy. Like, we have to be together. I don't buy it. I will not buy that. But I think the last scene that Meredith and Christina filmed together, that Ellen Pompeo and Sandra Oh filmed, was in the scrub room when Meredith is like, you have to just leave.
And she makes her
she's
scrub.
Like, you're gonna have to re-scrub anyway, so just leave. And they're both, like, crying. I just found that to be very moving, because I'm sure that was, like, a very emotional moment for the two of them, because they've done, like, this show is so, like, centralized around their friendship in so many ways.
So that, let me ask you this, because this is a little bit of a behind-the-scenes question, too. Neither of them were... Because I can't look at their IMDb's. Mm-hmm. Were either of them... Had they had a lot of acting?
Sandra Oh had done some things before Grey's. Honestly, I actually don't know. I know Ellen Pompeo was, in fact, on Friends.
Right, right. But that was after Grey's started, right?
No.
Was that a big, like, wasn't that a
Friends ended in 2004.
Oh, that's so funny. I, in my head, it was, oh, she did them a courtesy cameo.
No, that
that's
was well before.
Funny.
Yeah.
See, the things I don't know.
Yeah, she had definitely done some things. Like, she was in, you know, Law and Order, like everyone else in Hollywood. Some smaller parts in movies, you know. Stuff like that. This was no one's first thing. And Sandra Oh, I think, had done some larger stuff. Like, Sandra Oh did Under the Tuscan Sun. I think that was one of her bigger, earlier ones. And then I believe, God, when did Princess Diaries come out? 2001. So also well before Grey's, and she was Gupta.
Okay. Gupta. So, oh yeah, funny. I didn't realize that they had a connection with
the queen is coming.
Callie's dad. So also my question is, are they friends in real life outside of this? Ellen and Sandra.
I don't know that like they still are.
Are they Zach Braff and Donald Faison?
No.
Okay. Also, that's my on-scene best friend
are
expectation.
In contact, and like they still are in touch, and they still like speak somewhat, but it's definitely not that. It's not like the real besties.
Is it a shock?
But there's no animosity or anything like that.
Is it a shock when Christina comes back on the show later on?
A shock, like, because she comes back because someone gets electrocuted?
Or? No, because Christina comes back. Like, is it a big reveal when Christina comes back on the show later on in Grey's?
Well, as we've learned, there are no big reveals on the show because everything gets spoiled in the trailers. So.
Okay, but for me.
So, I just am not going to answer your question.
Okay. I tried to bait you and it didn't work. You keep your secrets.
I mean, I do kind of want to just tell you.
Okay.
She's not coming back. She's gone.
She's gone?
Well, here's the thing. You know, I can't say that because I did, you know, earlier in the recording of this podcast, tell you it was a series wrap on somebody who then came back in like the 20th season. Because they won't fucking stop making this show.
Oh, who did that?
I can't tell you that.
Han?
I can't tell you that.
Lexi?
I won't tell you that.
Mark?
I can't tell you that.
It's Burke and Christina. It ends up that Burke and Christina get married.
So also because of the whole thing with Christina's exit, and Shonda and Sandra Oh, like kind of working together to really like honor the character and do right by her in that exit. Christina was kind of pushing for a return from Burke. She specifically was like, I don't feel like Christina's story can be finished until we like tie a bow on the Burke storyline, because the Burke storyline ended so abruptly and it didn't really feel like there was a lot of closure. So she was saying that to her, it made a lot of sense to have Burke somewhat involved in Christina leaving the show. Not that she leaves the show because of him, but like she needs to see like where he's at and that she can become that, and like that she is just as good, if not better than he is. And like his appearance needed to be like an integral part of telling her story.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I can see.
Clearly now.
I can see clearly now that Christina is gone.
I was gonna say Christina's gone.
Thank you. We're on the same wavelength. So it does make sense. It felt maybe for that first whole season. Sorry, podcast burp. That there was like unfinished, because she clearly was hanging on it. He wins the Harper Avery, all these things. But then we don't hear about him.
Yeah.
Once she's involved with Owen.
Yeah.
It's nothing. Yeah. And I think that's intentional on the writer's part.
Yeah.
I would imagine. So I guess I can understand where she's coming from of having Burke come back to help close out, give a little bit of closure, wrap up that storyline. But also, I don't think it was 100% necessary. I think it was doable without that.
Yeah, I mean, I think I like the storyline because I think it needed to be this like huge thing to get her to leave. Like, I do think it was going to be hard for Chris. Even like in this episode, we see like she's having a hard time actually like pulling the trigger and leaving. And I do think there needed to be some like big thing to convince her that she needed to be somewhere else. And I think him basically telling her, like, there's no one else who can do this at the level that I need it done other than you. Like, I just think that because he took so much of her in so many ways throughout their relationship, that acknowledgement of, like, her talent and her gift as a surgeon would just, like, be very important.
You know, it's funny you say that he took so much. Meredith says also he, you know, a part of, I think she says like a part of you died, or he took a part of you, something like that. Oh yeah, that's right. I think I need, like, it's that storyline, mm-hmm. that character arc feels so prehistoric in yeah. my conception of this, not conception,
recollection,
perception, recollection, yeah. combination of words. I don't feel that way.
I think the chemistry between the two of them is incredible.
I remember feeling like I watched a lot of chemistry on the show.
It's super easy to remember them and also on a surgical perspective, the two of them together was absolutely incredible to watch. And like from a teaching standpoint, like could not have asked for a better relationship. When you get into like the relationship aspect of what they were for each other and like were they actually like, when you see what Christina is capable of and what, you know, she obviously has gone on to do, it does seem like she was in a way just like following and worshiping him and learning from him in a way that it's like, at what point would she be able to stand on her own? If she's just constantly like, I'm learning from the best, I'm learning from the best. Like at what point, if she's always learning from him, is she going to be like, and now I am good enough? It just presents a harder dynamic.
That's fair.
And, you know, we kind of see a similar thing, and it's even mentioned in this episode with Meredith and Derek, where she's like, you're always going to be the hot shot surgeon, and I'm just going to be the intern who fell for you. And he's like, oh, it's not my fault if you see me that way. She's like, I don't see me that way. Like, he's the one that sees them that way, and that's the issue. And I think it would have been very easy for Christina and Burke to fall into a similar pattern. And, you know, when you're in that situation and like building your own reputation, it's got to be really hard when you're standing next to someone whose reputation is already so established. And then, you know, we saw it many times with people like making comments about her sleeping her way to the top, or like sleeping her way into surgeries and like only getting surgeries because she was with Burke. And we obviously, as the viewership, know it's untrue, but ultimately it was just like not going to be the vibe for her.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great explanation, and I really appreciate that background and viewpoint from you. That's helpful. I do want to go back one of the next times that we're together. I just need to go back and like rewatch that finale.
Yeah.
Because I also remember, I don't remember the exact words, but I remember him speaking about the heart thing and like his speech that he was going to say at the wedding. And then like all of a sudden he's gone. Right.
Yeah. Well, he does like his vows, but then when he leaves her, he's like, if I loved who you actually are and not who I want you to be, then I wouldn't be making you marry me.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
But and to put a little bow on the Burke involvement here, I like that closure. And I don't hate that she's gone and taking this job, but I do feel a frustration that ultimately there's like, this is a way oversimplification of how I feel, but it's like sloppy seconds. Like, she's getting the job after Burke had it for so long. Like, he's gifting it to her. It's like, I don't know. It just feels weird. I wish it was something that she owned or created. Or, like, instead of Burke being the one who got approached by some billionaire person who made a bunch of money in the stock market, it was Christina being approached by someone who made a buttload and wants to give her this thing to build. Like, I think that would have been a cooler storyline. It's yeah. fun for dramatics that Burke comes back again, removing all the shitty pieces of him, yeah. looking at Burke, the character, not Isaiah Washington. I love their chemistry. I love their acting together. It even felt it in that episode, but I don't know.
I definitely see where you're coming from.
I'm not upset.
I see like the vision. I do think there's something to be said when he's like, I've wanted to step away from this for so long, but there's no one who could do it. But you can. And yeah. So I think there's some validity to him basically being like, you are at and or better than me. And then she is
that's a good
doing
a
like
good
the new thing, right? Like she did technically win the Harper Avery, you know, it is what it is, but she won the Harper Avery in the behind the room, right? Behind closed doors aspect of it. She is doing this amazing thing. She has created life in a way that no other surgeon has yet to do. And he has the ability to continue that. He's like, what's next in your research? And she's like, well, I want to get to human trials, but, you know, like all this stuff in the FDA. And he's like, good news, we don't have the FDA here. And I've got all these printers, so change the world.
I do see your point,
but I definitely think there's kind of ways to look at it in where it makes sense. And he's almost like just acknowledging that she is, in fact, better than he is.
Yeah, I get that. I do see that. So is it also safe to assume that Shane is no longer on the show? Shane's wrapped. Shane has moved to Zurich with her.
Uh-huh. Yeah, which was so funny. Definitely remember that happening and being like, wait, what? Like,
take me
really
with
leave?
You.
Also, Bailey going, do you want to take a CT machine with you as well? Like, so funny.
Yeah.
So funny.
That is very funny. Let's see. Yeah, it's so okay, that was kind of shocking. She gets her moment again, very cool. Where do you want to go with this conversation? Cause I feel we've only been talking about Christina, which like obviously makes sense. Like
yeah.
there's you know, obviously a lot of other things. Where else do you want to take this conversation next? Or were there any other
Well, I do think that the Christina goodbye with Derek was just like perfect.
Yeah.
Truly,
goodbye.
Like they goodbye. Just they yes. each say goodbye, and there's just so much in that moment and so much like recognition. They've already said enough to I think they spoke a lot of the unspoken aspects of their relationship through the PTSD recovery storyline when Derek was really invested in like making sure she was okay. So I think after that, there's just like a really good understanding of like who they are to each other. And just like the way they say goodbye, like there's not enough words, but like this word is going to do what I need it to do. And then they just have like a very genuine hug. And Meredith is just like standing there, like smiling, watching, like understanding. And I loved that. I loved when she hugged Bailey and said, thank you. And then when she hugged Weber and said, and he said, I'm proud of you. Like that really got me. So good. The whole thing with her and Alex, where they're doing the surgery together.
Oh my gosh. I need the receipts. Yeah. Give me the receipts. I need the receipts on that one. Okay. For sure.
So she's like, you're going to be so fucking bored, whatever. And she says, you're never going to do that again. Saving kids with ping pong balls, making an end stoma with an appendix. Again, referencing episodes from the previous 10 seasons. And Alex says, how did you even know I did that? And she goes, you think I wasn't paying attention to you proving me wrong? I thought you were competent. Well, now, when you got here, I thought you were an imbecile, but you got competent, like a decent handyman. Eventually, I had to accept that you were good. Good hands, you think fast, act faster. I mean, you'll never be as good as me, but you're very, very good. And you're putting all that talent in a drawer, so maybe you are an imbecile. Oh God, what a relief. I'm still right.
That, yeah, funny.
And then I read that it was a running gag between Sandra Oh and Justin Chambers, who played Alex, that anytime they were in surgery together, she would be lead and she would always tell him suction. So it was not written in the script, but like the last words of the two of them in that OR together is her saying suction. And she allegedly improvised that.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. It's Alex, I think, is probably my favorite character on the show right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be Alex and Bailey or Alex and Meredith.
Mm-hmm. It's not Derek?
Derek is actually one step above my favorite. He's my ultra favorite.
He's my ultra favorite person to push off of a cliff.
Mega. Well, okay.
Okay, wait, was there anything
that would
else?
Be Owen.
Did Christina have any other really good goodbye moments before we...
Obviously the Meredith one, but I think we should start the next episode with that. Talk more about that one.
Yeah.
Also, can we talk about how both Joe and Arizona were shitting on Alex for wanting to get a sports car or a boat?
Yeah.
So
but like,
funny.
They're right. He's not a boat guy.
No, no. Although, listen, I was not a boat guy, but now I'm a boat guy. I've been converted thanks to Kelsey.
However, the term, are you thinking about getting a road penis is so funny.
So funny. So
absolutely
funny.
Hilarious. Hands down, like, we should all be saying that way more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. So he's, you know, doing well with Dr. Butthole. He's going to be Little Butthole.
Dr. Junior Butthole.
Little Butthole. It's his rapper name.
Little Butthole.
Little Butt Cheek, if you ask Marlo.
Little Cheeks.
little Cheeks. Little Butt Crack. So, yeah, it's good. We can mention too. So Christina is obviously leaving a vacant seat on the board. So Richard tells Miranda, well, I'll be nominating you to fill that seat. And she's like so excited. And then at the end, we learn that Christina leaves an envelope that says Evil Spawn on it under Alex's pillow. And it's her shares to the hospital. She's leaving him her ownership and seat on the board of the hospital.
This is the thing that I needed to ask you about, because when I first watched it, I forgot. I missed the part where Jackson and Weber were talking before Bailey walks in and they cancel the funding for her trial, so they say. Mm-hmm. And Weber leaves and he's like, there's only one spot, and Derek and Meredith are gonna be telecommuting or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it did not occur to me until the second watching of this that the one seat was double promised. And promised by one, basically, not necessarily promised, but heavily implied to someone who has no authority to give those shares the way that Christina had the authority to give those shares.
Yeah. Well, Richard's thing is, he's like, I'm going to nominate you to fill this seat. And like, the board will certainly agree, which like, objectively, yeah, that makes sense. If you have it up for a vote, it does feel like that would be how that would go.
I didn't even think about the conflict that will be now happening.
Yeah.
With the potential reality of Bailey losing the funding for her trial, getting a seat and losing a seat within an episode. And she's just at home with Ben and he's like rubbing her feet and she's like, I'm going to be a board member. And he's like, I'm just rubbing your tootsies. So yeah, that tricky. But here's my prediction. They're both going to come true because Meredith and Derek will be getting a divorce and Derek will be losing his seat to Bailey. So both will happen, just not the way that we thought it was going to happen.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
Okay. So then, that's kind of, I don't know if I have any more like Christina related exit moments. It is nice that Link gets to come in and get a new heart.
Yeah, but not by Christina. They like called her and her phone's dead. I gotta tell you, I don't think I'll ever understand that. I'll never understand a dead phone.
Well, I'll talk to your wife because she'd be doing that all the time.
Oh, I know.
I have had it after days at work where it's so crazy. And there's like been a couple times where I've like forget my external charger, because I normally take two external chargers with me for work. Because they're typically like really long days. And I'm also on my phones a lot, because I'm like a lot of time also trying to get content for like marketing purposes. And there have been times then where like on the way home, before I had a charger in the car, because there was a while where I did not have a charger in my car. I have rectified that. There is now a charger in my car. But there for a minute there was not a charger in my car. And that was dangerous, because some of these venues I go to are like in the middle of nowhere. But it's not just like an everyday thing that that happens, like where your wife just is like, oh, I didn't plug my phone in, which Michael has also done. He's like, oh, I just didn't plug my phone in yesterday. And I'm like, okay, well, then stop watching YouTube.
You can't do both. You can't watch YouTube and forget to plug your phone in.
Yeah, it's one or the other.
I get to bed, or when I go to bed, and Jess is usually either asleep in Marlo's room because she fell asleep and she's exhausted, or she's in bed sleeping before I even get up to bed.
Yeah.
And I will plug her phone in 85% of the time. Because
I get down pretty low. I have gotten down to like 2%. And then honestly, a lot of times I'm like laying on the couch and it's like 20%, 10%, 5%. And I'm like, I just don't want to get up.
I was on both my phones all day today. Mm-hmm. My phone right now is at 22%. And I could have a panic attack at any moment. And I'm in my own home, luckily. But here's the problem. What if an emergency happens?
Then you need to go somewhere.
No, but I need to go. Imagine I need to go somewhere.
Okay.
I can't be on site at an emergency with a phone at 22%.
Why not?
Because I need at least 80% to walk into an emergency.
Tell me this. When your gas light comes on, how long do you wait until you get gas?
I'm so fucking sorry. My gas light doesn't come on.
That's crazy.
I'm at half a tank right now, and I will fill up tomorrow.
That's crazy.
No, it's not.
My gas light comes. I know how much gas, how many miles I have left in the tank when a gas light comes on. And my car doesn't tell me that. I just know it.
No, I don't even know what the gas light on my car looks like.
I have gotten down in the van where it does tell me the amount of gas until I get to the gas station. Like, I've gotten down to like 2 miles. I will bump that shit into neutral and coast down hills to get to gas stations. Michael does not care for that. Michael, nope. The second a gas light's on, he's like, gotta go to a gas station.
Yeah, I don't even get that far. If I'm at a quarter of a tank, I'm sweating the second my car turns on.
What do you think's gonna happen?
I can get a flat tire on the side of the road.
Okay, that's irrelevant to the amount of gas in your gas tank, bud.
That's not true, because I need to keep my car on to be able to keep my air conditioning on or my heater on.
Yes, and you can do that.
Okay, yes. And what if it's hours and hours and days on end of being on the side of the road before the tow truck gets there, and then my car runs out of...
You gotta learn how to change a tire.
No. I need to just make sure my gas tank doesn't run out. And that becomes irrelevant.
Also, even if your gas tank was at a quarter of a tank and you had to sit in idle with the running, it would still last for hours. Before it ran out of gas.
But not days.
It wouldn't be days, babe.
What if I'm on the side of the road for days in Chicago?
Someone's going to have to stop and help you, bud. You're going to have a little bit of a village.
You're not going to be stranded
on the road for days.
No. When we drove to Tennessee, to and from, I'm right. I took over Jess driving at one point and look at the gas tank, and it was like a quarter of a tank, and I go, oh my gosh, what's the matter with you? And she's like, what? And I was like, you're at a quarter of a tank. And she goes, yeah, that's like
a lot of the trip.
Normal. So I filled it up. But yeah, I don't like being at half a tank is my gas light as far as I'm concerned.
Crazy. You should bring this up to Renee. I wonder what Renee thinks about
this. She fully supports me.
But have you brought it up to her?
No.
I did bring up this week, we talked through some grudges that I have.
Mm.
And my therapist is supportive of my grudges.
Nice.
She said they're functional grudges, so I'm allowed to have them.
Are any of them with me?
No.
Okay, good.
But you do know of the ones, the top three, you know. So.
I don't know that I could guess your top three grudges. You're going to need to tell me off air.
Could you guess the top two? My top two ops. One of them is very new, and you were there when it was formed. Because it was July 4th.
Yes, I know that one. Okay, yes, I know that one.
You definitely know the other one, but it doesn't matter.
It's okay. You'll tell me when we get off air. Let's wrap this up.
Yeah, we'll wrap this up, and then we'll start the next episode with everyone's favorite segment.